Hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and we're going to have a good study today and try to finish up our study on immersion, study number 9, the letter I. And the dummy forgot to give you the scriptures last week, didn't I? Our last recording. And I'm going to go ahead and give those to you to begin with here. And if you got your pencil and paper, I'll give those to you before I have another memory lapse here. Well, I welcome you today, and I thank you for listening to our study today. And I pray that you've been blessed through these ABCs. They're the simplicity of Christ, and even though there are doctrinal things in our studies, and there should be, we're learning the simplicity of Christ. The Lord's not made anything hard for us. The Lord only requires sincerity. He wants truth and sincerity. He wants us to study His Word and to desire His Word because we want to, not because we have to. And there's a big difference in that. Even when you're rearing your children, you want them to be obedient to you because they want to, not because they have to, even though having to and little force is necessary every now and then, you still want their heart to be in a condition to where they want to be obedient. That makes a completely different child, doesn't it? Okay, and that's the way the Lord wants us, and wants us to be obedient to Him because we want to and not because we have to. Here are the scriptures. Last time we talked about who has the authority to baptize, if you remember, and here the scriptures are as follows. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 48. John chapter 17, verse 18. Again in John chapter 20, verse 21. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. John chapter 3, verse 7. Mark chapter 1, verse 10. Acts chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. And the last one was Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. And I think we've done that. We mentioned that verse twice in there, but that's okay. There's never anything wrong with duplicating the Lord's Word in a study and reading it once or twice or three times or however many. We can't go wrong with that. So today we're going to go into the last portion of this study of immersion, and of course we're talking about baptism. The word immersion is not found in your Bible, and it's not used in your Bible. But what we're talking about, of course, is baptism. And we talked about the mode of baptism. Remember when we said, what is baptism? We went over that, and that it was like a planting, and that it was like a burial, and it was in the likeness of something. Do you remember what it's in the likeness of? It's in the likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Remember? And we done a little bit of examination in the scriptures and comparing scripture with scripture to find out what the mode of baptism was and what the Bible was teaching us. You know, a lot of times in God's Word, the Lord thinks more of us than we think of ourselves. And He respects us more than we respect Him when it comes to understanding His words. A lot of times the Lord doesn't say something specifically that we should, or thou shalt not, or thou shalt not. He doesn't say that. But He gives us lots of evidence in His Word to where us being grown-ups and not children anymore, that we should understand, well, this is the will of God because He has said this, even though He didn't say, thou shalt be immersed. But there's a lot of evidence in the scriptures that shows us that is the Lord's will. And he expects us to be grown-ups and be mature enough to understand that that is his will. And we even do that with our own children, don't we? You know, even though we tell them don't go out in the street and play, don't play in the street, all the times that we have told them to get out of the street and watch out for the traffic and all the evidence that we give them that it is our will for them not to play ball in the street, they should know. And whenever they are found in the street and we tell them, and they say, well, you didn't tell us not to play in the street. And you say, you look at them like they're crazy and you tell them, you didn't know that I didn't want you playing in the street. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, the reason that they knew was because of the evidence that you're giving them not to play in the street. And a lot of times the Lord shows us his will in that fashion. He doesn't directly say, thou shalt not smoke. Thou shalt not do this, or thou shalt not do that. But he gives us all kinds of evidence in the scripture that it's not good for us, or that it's not his will for us to be associated with some things. And a lot of times that's the way the Lord comes to us and teaches us his will, because he treats us like grown-ups. And one thing about God's will is for us to grow. He expects that if he's going to teach us, that he wants us to mature. He wants us to grow in spiritual things, not just be given the information and given his will, but to be doers of the word and not hearers only, that it's making a difference, that it's bearing fruit, that it's bringing forth Christ in us, you see. So we talked about what is baptism and what it was a picture of, and we put it all together, and we found out that it is the Lord's will for us to be immersed as a likeness of Christ's death, but not sprinkled or not pouring. Nowhere in the scriptures does it give us evidence of any kind of pouring or any kind of sprinkling whatsoever when it comes to the Lord's commandment to be baptized. And we went and talked about who should be baptized, remember? And I think that was our last study. And we talked about John the Baptist, and he required something before he would baptize the people, and that was repentance, remember? And that the Lord made and baptized disciples, and that men and women were included in that. So then we talked about the Lord's crucifixion and the malefactors that were baptized with him. And when it comes to who should be baptized, we see in there an example of, even though it is the Lord's commandment, that it is his commandment, it's very important to him, that there's a truth that we learn in that part of Scripture, is that baptism has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation, of whether or not you're going to heaven or not. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that. It does not say anywhere in the scriptures, thou shalt be baptized or thou shalt go to hell. It doesn't say it. It also does not say thou shalt be baptized, that it doesn't matter whether thou shalt be baptized. It doesn't say that either. But what it does give us is some clear examples, or not even examples. It's statements of something that really happened. It wasn't even a parable. It was something that actually happened to the Lord, being up on the cross, and these two fellows that were crucified with him. And we've seen that even though the Lord had just got through commanding that, not just hours ago, to his disciples, that right after that he's on the cross, and he knows that this fellow's not going to be able to be baptized, even though he commanded it, but he promised him eternal life and told him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So that teaches us a very, very important thing concerning baptism, is that When we're talking about baptism, we're not talking about whether or not you're going to heaven or not. As a matter of fact, baptism should not even be discussed until after somebody has been born again. Baptism is something that the Lord has prepared for us after we have been born again. So we've seen that in the scriptures, and we know that to be true because of the evidence that it gives us and that the Lord has given us in His Word. Now, either none of the Bible is true or all of it is true. Did you get that? Either none of the Bible is true or all of it's true. I don't know about you, but if the Lord lied to me one time, just one time, and I'm not being a smart aleck about this, and I sure ain't being irreverent to the Lord, because I know He doesn't lie, and He's never lied to me, ever, ever, ever. Even though I even searched out in history in my life and tried to find a place to accuse Him, and I never could. I've never been able to find a place where the Lord has let me down and not done what He said He would do. And He's never let me down, and He's never lied to me, and He'll never lie to you. But if the Lord did lie one time, what would that do to your faith? It would destroy it, wouldn't it? Because now we have an imperfect God. We have a God that has the potential of lying, and He's not holy, like He said. And look at all the lies that would be in the Scriptures if the Lord lied one time. Just once, if the Lord lied one time. How could you trust Him for salvation? How could you trust Him through death? How could you trust Him? You couldn't. But the Lord is perfect, and He remains perfect. Because that's His integrity. The Lord remains the Lord because that's the way He wants. He is, and that He chooses to be, and He never compromises His holiness for anybody. And never compromises His dignity or His integrity for nobody. And He never will. We come to Him on His terms, you see. So we talked about who has the authority to baptize. We went on into that, and that there was a couple facts to keep in mind concerning that, and about the Heinz 57 baptisms and stuff like that, and that the Bible teaches us that there's only one baptism. So if there's more than one mode of baptism, or one more than if everybody's baptism is right, then the Scriptures have to be wrong. Because why did the Lord mention that? Why did He, when He was talking about baptism in the very limited amount of Scripture that He does talk about baptism, why did He choose to put that in there, that there's only one baptism? Because He knew that there was going to be some fakes out there that were going to try to duplicate baptism, or make baptism something else other than what it is. And He gave us warning after warning after warning that that was going to happen. So we have to be very careful and trust the Word of God and trust what the Lord says. You see, the authority to baptize was given to whom? Do you remember? It was given to the church, wasn't it? And what is the church, or who is the church? The church is the body of Christ. It is the body of Christ. It is the born-again, baptized believers. Okay? Or born-again believers, yes. And then we talk about, we talked about what are the requirements for being baptized, and that you have to be born again. You have to be immersed in water. And now, for baptism to be scriptural, the four requirements for baptism to be scriptural is what I meant to say, if I didn't say it exactly like that. The person must be born again, of course, and they have to be immersed in water, not sprinkled or poured. And it must be a symbolic thing that happens, not part of salvation, and it must represent the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it must be carried out by the Lord's assembly, the church, the body of Christ. And today we're going to go into why should we be baptized. And this will probably wind our study up today concerning the letter I. Baptism's not very hard to understand in the scriptures, about, and we know what it is. We know who's the one that instituted it. We know why it was instituted. We know whether it has anything to do with your salvation. We know who are the ones that are eligible to be baptized. I mean, we found out a lot in the last couple studies. But concerning why we should be baptized, some people do not hold a great importance to baptism, seeing that thinking that it's not that it's unnecessary, or it's an optional extra to being a Christian. In other words, you can take it or leave it. Is that what the Bible teaches? No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible taught that it's an order, it's an ordinance, and the Lord could have said anything he wanted to say before he ascended and before he was crucified and buried and resurrected and then his ascension. He could have said anything that he wanted to say concerning what his will was for the church. And these two things, this was one of two things that he left behind. And he made absolutely sure that they understood, that they understood that this was his will. One of them was baptism. And another one was the Lord's Supper, you remember? But on the other hand, the Word of God places great emphasis upon this ordinance. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded it. And let me ask you a question. Should it be important to a Christian if their Savior and their God has commanded this thing? Of course it should be. Now, the symbol of Christianity is not a cross and a fish. It's not a cross and a fish. If you do some studying on that fish, you'll find out that came from the Catholics. If you turn that fish instead of sideways and turn it straight up, you'll find out it looks like that fish hat that the Pope wears and all his buddies. And you do a little study on that, you'll find out a lot more about that fish. But a cross is an instrument of torture. It's an instrument of death. Our Savior's not dead. He's not dead. He's alive and well. But the symbols of Christianity is baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's what the Bible calls them. Symbols in the likeness of it. It's a picture, you see. So the symbols of Christianity is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the Lord left those behind for us to symbolically remember his death, burial, and resurrection, and also his shed blood and his broken body. These are our symbols, the fish hat and the fish and the cross. Those aren't the symbols of Christianity, even though the Lord mentioned the two in the scriptures. They've been confused. Do a little study on that sometime. You'll see. But we're talking about why should we be baptized. Well, let's look at some reasons why we should be baptized. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13 through 17, the Bible said, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John." Why? To be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, one reason that we should be baptized is because the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, what we just got through reading, Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan. He walked from Galilee to Jordan. That's 60 miles. You ever walked 60 miles to get something done? or would you? It's something that would be pretty important for you to walk that, tear out walking 60 miles, wouldn't it? Now think about that. Jesus walked 60 miles from Galilee to Jordan to receive a baptism. And it was important to him. In verse 15, Jesus said his baptism remember when he was talking and John the Baptist told him, I have need to be baptized of thee. And the Lord said, suffer it to be so now, for it becometh us. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. The Lord said that this baptism that he was being baptized, and of course John was right, that this was the Lord. He had nothing to repent of and to be baptized about. But the Lord said, it's necessary for this to happen. Go ahead and baptize me. He said, because it's part of the righteousness. He said, it's part of fulfilling all righteousness. So this baptism was part of what the Lord wanted everybody to see. Jesus said his baptism becometh us, he said. It's fitting. It's fitting. It's something that should happen right now. So the Lord said that it becometh us, that it needed to happen. And he needed it to happen so that all the people would see and see what he was doing. Now, also in verse 15, Jesus used the little word us. And he used it in indicating that we associate him when we follow him in baptism. Now, remember what he said? He said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He didn't say it becometh me. He said it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, indicating that we associate with him when we follow him in baptism. Did you see that? So why should we be baptized? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. And what other reason in the scripture would Jesus have been baptized for if it wasn't for on our behalf and as an example to us to follow him that way? God the Father even mentioned something about Jesus' baptism. Did you catch that? He said, and lo, a voice, when the heavens were open, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighted upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father said that he was well pleased when God the Son was baptized. That's what it says. That's what it says, isn't it? So why should we be baptized? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. Another reason why we should be baptized. Baptism is a command from the Lord. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, we read that last time, the scriptures I gave you just a minute ago, but we'll read it again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, this is the Lord talking, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, as noted previously when we was talking, the command to baptize was given to the Lord's church, the body of Christ, given to the church. So thus it follows that those who are one to Christ have a duty to be baptized, right? The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Now, let me ask you a question. What in the world? That's what the Ethiopian eunuch said. He said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, why would we even want to, if we knew that the Lord had been baptized and that the Father was pleased and the Lord included us in his, included us when he was talking, that it becometh us to be baptized and fulfill all righteousness, then why would we look for any kind of reason not to be baptized? Wouldn't that seem like being disobedient to try to find a reason not to be baptized? Seems like it would. Baptism is a command from the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. Why should we be baptized? There's two good reasons right there. If you've been born again and God the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you and in your body, God the Holy Ghost is teaching you about righteousness. He's conforming you into the image of Christ. And God the Holy Ghost is not teaching you against the Scriptures ever. God the Holy Ghost encourages you to mind the Scriptures all the time. So baptism is a command from the Lord. So we should, as Christians and followers of our Lord Jesus, our Prince and our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior, we should automatically be obedient to that immediately. Another reason why we should be baptized is that baptism is the Bible way. Is the Bible way. Now, in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, in Mark, there's a command. Here's the command. Here the command is that he that believeth and is baptized. Now, that does not, that not to be saved, but in addition to being saved. He that believeth and is baptized, because baptism comes after salvation, eternal salvation. You're already saved. Now, that does not mean to be saved. It means in addition to being saved. So, baptism is the Bible way. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, the Bible says, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." The Scriptures not only give us a command, show us what Jesus did, show us what Jesus said concerning baptism, but shows us examples of what men and women did after they were born again. And it was being baptized. It says, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ," what happened after that? They were baptized, both men and women. Now, why in the world would you not want to be baptized with the Scriptures that we've been reading? The Scriptures have not leaned toward anything or any reason why we would not want to be baptized. Why should we be baptized? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. Why should we be baptized? Baptism is a command from the Lord. You say you love the Lord? The Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What was one of his commandments? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, all nations. That includes all people that would receive and believe Jesus Christ, believe on Jesus Christ. Does that include you? Of course it does. It includes us, you and me. The Lord said, "Us, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." All right. So baptism is the Bible way. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God is within you," the Bible says, "and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Philip was a busy soul winner, wasn't he? And another thing, why we should be baptized is that not only baptism is a command from the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself was baptized and taught us and commanded us about baptism, but all Christians are exhorted to be faithful in the local assembly. the Lord said for us to be, and not only is it the Bible way, but the Lord said for all Christians are exhorted to be faithful in the local assembly. We are taught to be faithful to the Lord. No matter what we think, we're taught to be faithful to Him. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, he's talking about saved, born again, sons of God. That's us that have received the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on Him for our salvation and for the remission of our sins. Okay, not forsaking the assembly of the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible in Hebrews right there was telling us not to come together, that we need to come together and we need to assemble ourselves and hear the Word of God, and not only to hear the Word of God and to be encouraged and exhorted by the Word of God, but also for us to exhort one another to obey the Lord, to do what is right, and to help each other out, because we have enemies in this world. The world is our enemy. The devil is our enemy. And the flesh is our enemy. Don't you know that? We have many things working against us as Christians, and we need all the encouragement and exhortation as we can get. And we need to come together in an assembly, a local assembly, wherever you live and wherever Bible believers gather together, to hear the Word of God and be encouraged and be fed and to be encouraged to mind the Lord in things. So if the Bible commands us to come together, when we read this command in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, can we properly follow this command and not be baptized? Can we encourage one another to do what the Lord says and to mind the Lord and say, well, it don't really matter whether I get baptized or not? Yes, it does. It's a commandment. The Lord Jesus Christ was our example about this issue of baptism. He thought it was very important, and he thought it was, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't need to be improved in any way. He's God. He's God in the flesh, incarnate in the flesh. He's God the Son of Man. And he didn't need to be improved. He was perfect. He was without sin. And the things that he done as an example to us and for us in order that we could be better. And one of them was baptism. Has nothing to do with your salvation, but has everything to do with your fellowship and has to do with obedience. That's the first step of obedience after being born again, is minding the Lord and being baptized, and being baptized publicly. The Bible says, the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You say, I'm scared. That's okay. But are you going to obey? You think you're the only one that was ever scared to go in front of a congregation and to be baptized? No. The enemy's going to be trying to talk you out of it all the time. Don't you know that? The enemy does not want you to obey, and he's going to try to talk you out of obeying. But you should not be ashamed of your Lord. Do you know that the Lord has saved you? Then you should go up and publicly proclaim that Jesus Christ has saved you, and that you want to be baptized and follow Him in obedience and show the world what has saved you: the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And give the Lord glory and give Him praise. That's what it does also. Baptism is the Bible way. Baptism is a command from the Lord, and it's also the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, and all Christians are exhorted to be faithful and obedient in the local assembly. Now, if you have been baptized, record the date if you remember it. Put it down. There's no special or anything in the scriptures having to do with this kind of thing about writing your day of salvation down and the day you got saved. And some people, I don't know the day that I got saved. I know where I was and I know what country I was in. I was in Germany, and I was at a missionary church over there where a pastor was a missionary to the military, and I was in the military. Never been to church over there, and got invited to go to church over there, and I got saved. The Lord saved me. And I don't remember what time it was, what day it was, because it was like I was in slow motion. It was like I was in, everything was changing in me. And the Lord just, He blindsided me. And it was precious. It was beautiful. Be sure, you know, record the date if you can. And the reason I say all this is because the enemy's going to try to talk you out of saying, well, you didn't really get saved, and you didn't get baptized right, and you didn't do it right, and this. And he's going to come at you all kind of different ways, but he's a liar. Jesus said that there's no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, because he's a father of them, and that there's no truth in him. So according to the Lord, when the enemy speaks to you, he cannot speak the truth. Even though he comes at you all subtle and caring and acting like he cares about you and this, that, and the other, and that he's just out for your best welfare, he's a liar. And everything coming out of his mouth is a lie. And he's going to try to talk to you about your salvation, try to talk to you about your baptism and tell you you didn't do it right, blabbity, blabbity, blah, blah, blah. But if you write it down and you write down your baptism, you can go back and look at it and just kind of reassure yourself, you know. And even though your complete reassurance is in your faith, having to do with believing God and believing the Word of God, but it kind of helps, you know. Record the date of your baptism along with other information on, you know, and I have this study here, the first page of this study that we're doing right here on the ABCs of Christian Growth. It has a page at the beginning that records all that, the pastor, or whoever baptized you, and where you was, and what time it was, and your salvation, and all that stuff. So you can write it down, you can go back and look at it and in your walk with the Lord. But our faith and our belief and trust and in the Lord and in His Word, that He has done what He said He would do, and the reasons that we do things are because of God's Word and because of His commands, and that we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so if you want to write it in your Bible along with your day of salvation, you know, that would be good. There's nothing wrong with writing in your Bible, and if you choose not to, there's nothing wrong with that. We know that Jesus is the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then the Word became a written word when the Lord ascended. And He put His Word, Jesus put His words in a book and gave it to us so that we could know His will. if you don't know your day of salvation, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's written in heaven along with your name. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, the Lord was talking about. That's when all the disciples came back to Him saying, Lord, You gave us the power, and all the devils are subject unto us. They have to mind us. And the Lord said, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And if you've been born again, your name is written in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? What a promise. Your name is written down in heaven. That's what the Bible says. And it's beautiful, isn't it? If you've not been baptized, now we was talking about if you have been baptized. You don't have to ever be baptized again. You followed the Lord in baptism, and you've done what the Lord's asked you to do, and publicly presented yourself for baptism and went through with it, and you minded the Lord. But if you have not been baptized, look at let's read Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Listen to this. And as they went on their way, this is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, if you're not baptized and you've not been baptized, in your own words and in your own situation, ask this question to yourself. The same one the Ethiopian eunuch asked. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why am I not baptized? And what's stopping me from being baptized? And then give it an honest answer. Knowing all the things that we found out through this study already and the importance of baptism and what baptism stands for and what baptism does not stand for, you should be completely convinced by the Word of God that it's God's will for you to be baptized if you've been born again. And if you've not been born again, you should also know that now is the time of salvation, that you should be born again now and not wait. You're on very dangerous ground if you've not been born again, because eternity is just one step away. You could take one more step and fall through time into eternity. And the Bible says, it's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. When you step through that, it's just like walking on thin ice and walking on a lake out there, and you're trying to get across that lake and take the wisest steps that you can take and looking for the thickest ice. But then you take one step and crack, and through you go. And that's what you're doing when you're walking around unsaved. The Lord has done everything and prepared everything for you to be born again, and it's all right there in front of you, and all you have to do is accept it and ask the Lord for salvation. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise to you. And as long as you're walking around knowing that, and you can't say you don't know it now, because I just spoke it to you. And you're accountable for that now. You was probably accountable and heard it before, but you're definitely accountable for it now. You've heard it. And if you've not been born again, you need to be born again right now. All you have to do is bow your head and, as best as you know how, ask the Lord to save you and believe on His Son and what He's done for you. Now, and then be baptized. That's what we're talking about. So that pretty well concludes our study of baptism. Isn't it the way that we started out? Didn't I tell you that the study of baptism is probably one of the most important doctrines in the scriptures as far as it is a doctrine, and it is very important, and the Lord says it's very important and we should follow it. But it's also very, very, very simple. It's definitely not worth the way isn't it funny how in history that baptism has been the sole reason for bloodshed. And I'm not talking about a small amount of bloodshed. I'm talking about all the way up to that if it was possible, there would be bloodshed right now. It ain't been that long ago that people were being massacred because of this thing having to do with baptism. And if you do just a little bit of history study on it, and we're not going to get into that in ABCs, but if you do just a little bit of history study, you'll find out that this thing of baptism is been used in the name of murder and martyrdom and killing born-again people that were saved, killing Christians because of this thing of baptism. Now, Why not decide today to obey the Lord's command? The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And we know that he was talking to Saul at that time. But the principle is there, that the Lord would rather have you to obey him and be more pleased with you obeying him than bringing him all kind of gifts and sacrifices. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, "For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Can't you tell the time of the sign of the times? The Lord said that we can discern the sky and tell where it's going to rain and what the weather's going to be like. He said, but you can't look at what's going on in the world and tell that the Son of Man is coming, that the day is approaching. Don't you want the Lord to find you obedient? Sure you do. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Amen. So there's our study on the letter I. I hope that you've been just encouraged as much as you can be, and I hope that you believe the truth, and I know you do. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to email me concerning the scriptures. If you have anything that you think that I need correcting on, please write me an email. Tell me what I said was wrong, and please give me scripture behind it. We can talk about opinions all day long, but this is about God's Word. And if I've made a mistake somewhere, I sure want to know where I did so I can correct me, because I believe the book. Now, having studied the scriptures concerning the subject of baptism and realizing that this step of obedience is ordered for you from the Lord and His Word, you should determine by the grace of God that you will unashamedly present yourself for baptism and publicly associate yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then assemble in a local Bible-believing assembly and endeavor to serve the Lord to the best of your ability. Amen. Well, I thank you for listening into this. This has been the letter I, and it has been study number 9, and we call it immersion. And we found out quite a bit, the ABCs of immersion and baptism, and nothing confusing about it a bit, is there? Let me give you these last bit of scriptures here, and we'll go ahead and wrap this study up. The next study is going to be in the letter J, H-I-J. Yeah, J. You never had to do that, did you? J, and J is going to be on the topic of Jesus Christ. We're going to study about our Lord a little bit and the ABCs of Christian growth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be good. And perhaps you'll find something out about the Lord that you didn't know before, or maybe I know you'll be reassured and encouraged by it. So we'll study that, all right? And that'll be study number 10, the letter J, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the scriptures. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. John chapter 14, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And the very last one is Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. And there they are. Well, thank you so much for studying God's Word. I can't say how thankful I am that you have chosen to honor the Lord's Word and honor Him and give Him your time to know His Word and to know His truth and allow Him to work in your life. And the Lord is faithful. He is working in you, and you can believe that. And He has promised that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that He is conforming us into the image of His Son, and that He's doing that through His Word that's working in and through us. And I hope you've been encouraged about this. I hope you're not confused in the least about this immersion and baptism, and you know what to do, and the Holy Ghost has already mentioned to you what needs to be done. And if you've already been baptized and already done everything that the Lord has commanded, God bless you. And now you know, and you can solidify this thing and nail it down that you are right with the Scriptures when it comes to baptism. Amen. All right. And the rest of you that need to get this thing accomplished, start doing it and get it done. Okay. Well, the Lord bless you, and you have a wonderful evening or morning or whatever it is that you're having, and this is Brother Thurman, and I'll talk to you on the next recording as we go into the letter J about our Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.